And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Let's pray. Father, we probably don't have a very good idea as to how fortunate we are to be here. We know that we are blessed beyond measure to be a part of this church, to be a part of the service tonight. We know that there's no other place in all this world that would be a better place to be. So we thank you for this place. We thank you for this hour. We thank you for these people who are gathered, and we thank you for this preacher, our preacher. Grant him thy wisdom and power, that we tonight might once again gain something of blessing and help from thy word. In Jesus' name, amen. There are many, many things that are preached across this little piece of wood here, and have been for these many, many years. And the one that's going to be preached tonight is not one of the more spectacular ones, but it is probably the one that is the nearest to the secret, the answer to success of any. And certainly it is one that is necessary for any Christian endeavor. I will not bring down the house tonight with a rousing sermon, but I will bring to you tonight the one that you need. I want to say tonight that what you hear, you Howells Anderson College preacher boys tonight, I want to say that the sermon you hear tonight will be the most important sermon, subject matter that you'll hear of all the sermons that I'll preach or anybody else will preach. I could stand here tonight and I could name a dozen just like that. Probably if I thought a while, I could name more than that of our Howells Anderson College preachers who have lost their ministry because they become fallen men. In every case, it started where I'm going to preach tonight on the subject I'm going to preach tonight. And had they heeded what I'm going to say tonight, they would still be active in the service of God. I beg you to listen. I want to say this. Most important thing about, and this is not just to preacher boys, this is to everybody, but this word of preface to preacher boys. This is more important to you than your Greek and Hebrew. What I'm going to say tonight is more important to you than your Bible classes at the college. What I'm going to say tonight is more important to you than your preaching classes at the college. More important than your ministry, your bus ministry, your Bible club ministry, your sailor ministry, your ministry with the jail minister, whatever ministry you So please, I'm not going to use the tool tonight of dynamics to hold your attention, but I promise you that you desperately, all of you, each of us needs to think on these things. Without your turning to it, I read one statement that is my text tonight. And this is the story, of course, as you know, about the man whose ground, a rich man whose ground brought forth plentifully. And he said, I'll tear down my barns and build bigger barns to house my riches. But it all started with one little statement, and I read it for you. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? And he thought within himself. That's my text tonight, and my sermon is entitled tonight, An Empire Where There Is Perfect Freedom. Our Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that every single adult shall listen to what the preacher says. I pray that every single college student shall sit up and behave himself, do their note writing and their whispering later on the way home or maybe out at the college or at the high school. But I pray tonight all of our people, from the youngest child to the oldest adult, will listen to what the preacher says from the book tonight. Please. Amen. I speak tonight very deliberately. In life, there is no true and total liberty. Regardless of where we live, what country in which we live, what society where we live, there is no true and total liberty. We cannot walk where we please. Laws govern us. Walls restrain us. Customs confine us. We must limit our conduct. I guess the nearest you'll find, outwardly speaking, to find the true you is what you do on vacation, where nobody knows you, and there are no rules that you have to keep and no demerits that you'll get. Your college students will reveal the true you when you go home for the summer, for the holidays. Do you live like you live at the college because you're supposed to? Do you have to have rules to govern you? Now, I had a few amens there. I'll lose those at this time. I doubt if there's anything that shows the true you like your driving habits. The amens turn to oh my's. But I doubt very seriously. What do you do as far as courtesy is concerned when you are protected by a hunk of steel and you can drive away rapidly? What kind of manners? What kind of laws do you keep? Now, for your benefit and to your delight, I shall depart from that subject. God bless those people who just said amen. Yet, there is a place of perfect liberty. There is a place of perfect, an empire of perfect freedom. We cannot walk as we please. Hear me now. We cannot walk as we please. We cannot talk as we please, but we can think as we please. Every man possesses an interior liberty, his thoughts. Your thoughts are an empire of perfect freedom and perfect liberty. In this empire, there are no laws. You can think what you will. You can steal what you will in your mind. You can go where you want to go in your mind. You can say in this empire what you want to say. You can do in your mind what you want to do. You can hurt whom you want to hurt. You can act as you desire to act. You can be what you want to be. You can see what you want to see. You can hear what you want to hear. You can commit any crime that you choose to commit in your mind. And there'll be no apprehension. There'll be no arrest. There'll be no indictment. There'll be no trial. There'll be no charges. There'll be no conviction. There'll be no punishment. For in your mind, you can commit any crime that you choose to commit. You're at perfect liberty to do so without apprehension. You can perform any sin that you want to perform in your mind. There are no laws to restrain us. There are no barriers to bar us in this empire of freedom called our minds. There are no walls to hinder us. There are no customs to limit us. There are no limits to confine us. There are no parents to correct us. There are no judges to sentence us. There are no superiors to rule us. There is no preacher to warn us. There is no master to reprimand us. There are no eyes to see us. There are no ears to hear us. There are no feet which follow us. There is no sound to betray us. There is no witness to accuse us. There is no comrade to accompany us. You can go where you want to go, do what you want to do, be what you want to be, say what you want to say, act as you want to act in your mind, because that is a place of perfect freedom. You leave no footprints. You make no tracks. You have a realm wider than the heavens, broader than from horizon to horizon. You may take any excursion you want to take in your imagination. There is no time occupied in its passage, for there is perfect and total freedom in your mind. So, you, hear me now, you may do what you please in your mind without fear of apprehension, punishment, or criticism. This is life's only perfect freedom. So here dwells the real you. That's what the Bible means when it says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Doesn't say as a man talketh with his tongue, so is he. Doesn't say as a man walketh with his feet, so is he. Doesn't say that as a man heareth with his ears or seeth with his eyes, so is he. But as a man thinketh in his heart. The real you is not the one your wife knows. The real you is not the one your husband knows. The real you is not the one your children know. The real you is not the one that your parents know. The real you is the one that you know and God knows. That place where you can walk as you want to walk and nobody will know it. Think what you want to think and nobody can read your mind. That is the perfect real you. This, hear me now, this is what you would do if there were comparable freedom externally as there is internally. What you think in your mind or heart is what you would do if there were no reputation at stake, no apprehension at stake, no punishment at stake, no law-breaking at stake, no criticism at stake, no gossip at stake, no scandal at stake. That's what you'd do. If there were no laws, no customs, no reputations, no courts, and no rules. Now you listen carefully. You hear me carefully. Hiles Anderson, preacher voice. What I'm talking about tonight is the most important thing in your life. Not as a man preaches in his pulpit, so is he. Not as a man teaches in his Bible lesson, so is he. Not as a man leads his people, so is he. But as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You are what you think. If you can't become a good pulpiteer, become a good thinker. If you can't become a good leader, become a good thinker. If you can't have good charisma, have a good clean mind. Now you listen to me. America is going to hell tonight because our minds are as wicked as the devil that went in the Garden of Eden and corrupted the human race. The devil is after your mind because the devil knows, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Men, listen to me. Give your wife a clean mind. Let your wife walk down the street with you without thinking that you're examining her pretty girl that you meet. Let your wife feel like that yours is the only, or she is the only person you desire. Let your wife feel like that her husband has a mind that is clean and pure. Ladies, give your husband the privilege of thinking that he is it for you, that you never have a feeling of a desire for anybody else in the whole world. Keep your, my young people, now you listen carefully to me. You can learn to play the piano. You can learn to sing, take all the lessons you want to. And you can learn personality, charm, and charisma. And you can learn all, and your mom and dad can be so proud of you. And you can make the honor roll, but not as a man playeth the piano, so is he. Not as a young person makes a speech, so is he. Not as a young boy shoots the basketball, so is he. Not as a young person is talented, so is he. But as you think in your heart, that's what you are. My mom used to say to me, over and over again, son, look at every girl you see as you look at your sister. So I hated every girl that I saw. But you're not going to watch the Hollywood movies and have a clean mind. You're not going to watch the stinking soap operas and have a clean mind. You're not going to watch the dirty stinking talk shows and have a clean mind. You're not going to read the dirty magazines and have a clean mind. If you're going to have a clean mind, you've got to take into your body, into your mind, the things that you ought to take. For what you think in your mind is what you bring into your mind. And my Bible said that the great secret of the Christian life is not where you walk, not what you do, but how you think. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Didn't say let my sermons be acceptable. Let my Bible studies be acceptable. Let my solos be acceptable. Let my piano playing be acceptable. Let my talent be acceptable. Let my Bible teaching be acceptable. Let my leadership be acceptable. Let the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. He sees what you think and knows what you think. Let me take you tonight to a little room. I can only take you to the door. I can't walk in with you. The room is called in Ezekiel the chambers of your imagery. It's way down deep in your personality house, your composition house. It's a little room where nobody else goes but you. Your wife never enters. Your husband never enters. Your children cannot go in. Your parents cannot go in. And I cannot go in. Only you enter that room. I said a while ago, I can only take you to the door. I'm not allowed to enter. In fact, as I said a while ago, no one but you can enter. Your wife never enters this chamber. Your husband never enters this chamber. Your mother never enters this chamber. Your father never enters this chamber. Your son never enters this chamber. Your daughter never enters this chamber. Your friends never enter this chamber. Your pastor never enters this chamber. Your neighbors never enter this chamber. It has no windows. It has no microphone. It is only for you, the chamber of your energy. So I've got to take you to the door. I'll stay out here, and you go on in the chamber of your the imagery where you live. You go on in. I'll stay at the door. I'm going to leave the door open just a crack so I can speak to you. You go on in. Go on in. That's where your mind is. Can you hear me? I left the door open a crack so I can talk to you. What do you see in there? That's you in there. Meet you. The real you. Not the one that dresses up on Sunday morning. Not the one that says amen on Sunday night. Not the one that teaches the Sunday school class or the classroom on Monday morning. I'm talking about the real you. Meet the real you. As you are in that room. Not as you are in this room. Not as you are in your living room. Not as you are in your classroom. In that room where nobody else goes. Your thought life, the chamber of your imagery. That's what you are. What do you see in there? Huh? Hey. I can't go in, but listen to me. What do you see? Do you see malice? Huh? Do you see hatred? Huh? Do you see lust? Huh? Hey, in that chamber, no windows, no microphones, nobody else but you. What do you see in there? Do you see jealousy? Do you see covetousness? Now you listen. I want you tonight, right now, to go in that chamber. What do you see? Whatever you see, that is the real you. As a man thinketh in his heart, hey, are you glad I can't come in? Hey, hey in there, listen to me. Are you glad I can't come in? Would you be embarrassed if I did come in? Could I bring Mrs. Hiles with me, please? Would you want us to come in? I'm talking about your thought life. I'm talking about your meditation. I'm talking about your thinking. Could I bring your wife in? Are you glad we can't come in? Are you glad you're the only one in there? No, I'm not asking you what is your reputation, what's in that room. I'm not asking what your family thinks, I'm asking what's in that room. What's in the room where only you go? Is there malice? Is there lust? Do I see a Playboy magazine? Do I see a stinking talk show? Do I see a dirty soap opera? Do I see a movie? I am so sick and tired of this lustful, vile, filthy, licentious, thinking generation. I don't know what to do. I'm not concerned tonight about cleaning up television. I'm concerned about cleaning up your mind. I hate pornography. But I'm not concerned in this sermon to chasing pornography out of America, though I wish I could. I'm concerned about chasing pornography out of your life. Now, people, you listen to me. You can have a clean mind. Fellas, you listen to me. You can have a clean mind. Ladies, you listen to me. You can have a clean mind. College students, you listen to me. You can have a clean mind. And whatever is in your mind, that is what you are. So much depends on the condition of this room. Your success depends on the condition of this room. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, get this now, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He's over the house. Are you trying to tell me that I'm supposed to read the Bible more than I watch television? You're getting mighty close. You preachers, what if your mind laid open tonight to this crowd? If you fall on your face, if you fall flat on the face of failure, it'll start right down here in your thought life. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. You can read all the stinking success books you want to read. You can get all these guys that write these books on success and how to make a million and how to be successful and all you want to. But as far as God Almighty is concerned, you'll not have good success. Oh, you may have bad success, but not good success till you clean up your mind. The success of your work will depend upon your mind. The success of your life will depend upon your mind. The success of your marriage will depend upon your mind. This is your true character. Every person, as I've said so often, every person will eventually rise or fall to his character level. For what you are is more important than what you do. For if you are what you ought to be, you'll do what you ought to do. I love to tell the story about when I was a paratrooper. I was pulling guard every other night, pulling KP. Every night, I won't forget it. I wrote kitchen police, that's KP. That's when you peel the potatoes and clean the kitchen and work in the mess hall. I wrote my mother home and said, "Mother, I'm on kitchen police every other night." Mother bragged every friend she had. My boy has been promoted to kitchen police. I was pulling KP, kitchen police, every other day, walking guard every other night. And one day, Captain Fuller came out to our company, 240 men. He said, "Men, we need a typist in the personnel office." The personnel office folks did not have to pull KP, did not have to walk guard. He said, "We need a typist to type, be my secretary and type the payrolls in the personnel office. Anybody here know how to type?" I raised my hand. He didn't ask, "You know how to type well." He just said, "You know how to type." I raised my hand because I didn't know, I was tired of KP and guard. He said, "Hiles, you know how to type?" "Yes, sir." He put me in the personnel office behind a typewriter, had typed the payroll for 240 men, typed all of his letters. I went down that night to the personnel office. Every night, I spent most all night down there till I learned how to type. Now, I didn't use the right fingers, touch the right keys, but I could type 40 words a minute. Hunting for them. Over here, and here's one over here, and there. For 9 months, I didn't pull guard one time or KP one time. You know what that's like, blessed God. You know why? You tell me what I'm supposed to do, I'll learn to do it. We didn't have a choir director at Miller Road Baptist Church. I directed the choir. Didn't do a good job, but I can beat anything he's been playing anyway. I directed the choir. We didn't sing very well, but we stood together. We held our books right. We were organized right. I did the congregational singing. Now, I'm trying to tell you, listen carefully. If you'll be more concerned about what you are and less about what you can do, you'll be able to do what you ought to do. For if you are what you ought to be, bless God, you'll do what you ought to do. And some of you parents should spend more time teaching your kids what they ought to be rather than being so cute to show off in public to people. You'd rear some decent kids. Not your talent. Not your personality. Not your intelligence. Not your charisma. Not your looks. Not your education. Not your honor roll. Not your abilities. Not your charm. Not your IQ. Not your intellect. Not even your zeal. Is going to determine your success. As a man thinketh in his heart. Hey, clean up your mind tonight. I said clean up your mind tonight. Get your mind pure. Lift your heart to God tonight. And say to him, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Or say with the psalmist who said, create in me a clean heart, O God. Hey, when David sinned, and when he got right with God, he first asked God to change his heart. And then to change his behavior. For a long time, before David took Bathsheba, he lusted in his own heart. Say, renew a right spirit within me. For thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. I said, your success depends on the condition of your mind. That isn't all. What you do tomorrow depends on what you think today. Young ladies, you listen to me now. You listen well. Young men, you listen to me. I think it is entirely possible for you to walk down that aisle as a bride or stand here as a groom and be clean and pure and decent and virtuous. I also think it is possible, somebody, the house, in these days, it's just impossible for a young man to keep his mind clean. You are a liar. You can keep your mind clean. You teenage boys can keep your mind clean. You men, are you sitting without all these women, they dress like they dress. Hey, you got eyes, you can move your hands, only hands. Quit blaming naked women because you got an evil mind. And I'm not condoning you women that show your thighs in public either. What you do tomorrow depends on what you think today. For your mind is the drawing board for your deeds. It is the architect of your future behavior. I said something last Sunday morning about cancer. I said that long time before you or found out to have cancer, it starts. You don't look like it. I'm talking about death. Dr. Cal Street over here came to my office after the service. He said, River House, you were wrong. Boy, what a courage that man's got. What stupidity. He said, you're wrong. He said, get this. He said, cancer starts 15 years before you find out about it. It starts with the breaking down of the immune system, he said. 15 years. And sin, listen to me young people, sin is that way. A long time before the sore festers and you wreck your life, you're thumbing through some advertisements of lingerie in the local newspaper. Or getting a peek at a Playboy magazine after you've looked to right, looked to left, see nobody's looking. A long time before you ruin your life and wreck your whole future and shatter your plans and dreams a long time before, as is cancer. Hey, keep the spiritual immune system in good shape. Here, in the mind, the plans and specifications are drawn for the murder, for murder, on the desk of hatred. Here in the mind, the plans and specifications are drawn for adultery on the table of lust. Here the plans and specs are drawn in the mind for stealing on the counter of covetousness. Here you can do what you would do in reality if there were no laws to keep, no punishment to fear, no custom to observe, and no reputation to build in your mind. You say, preacher, okay, what can I do? Same old stuff, two things. Number one, the mind of Christ is available to you. 1 Corinthians 2:16, you mentioned tonight, we have the mind of Christ. If you're saved, you have your mind and the mind of Christ. Now you decide which one you're going to use. In the new car you gave us, I gave to my wife, in the trunk there's a CD. You put CDs back there. It plays up in the car, I hope. I got out in the trunk trying to listen to it the other day. But my wife said, tonight, come in, I've got to put some CDs in there. And so we have Elvis in there now. But I got to put some CDs in there. Now, wait a minute. She can put any CD she wants to because nobody's going to get in that trunk. In fact, I'm going to check it out tonight. You have two CDs, yours and his. The secret is simply in Philippians 2:5. Let this mind, let this thinking, let these thoughts be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We have the mind of Christ. Everybody here has it. Now put it in. Then, of course, the old answer I give to you so many times. Several times a day, you ought to get on your knees and say this prayer. Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you. I pray it seven times a day. Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you. And I pray you to help me to cross the path of those whom Jesus would help if you walked in my shoes. What do you see in your chamber tonight? Hey in there. Hey, by yourself, when no one else enters. What have you watched this week? What have you read this week? What have you heard this week? What's in there? As a man thinketh in his heart. As a man thinketh in that room right there. As a man thinketh in that chamber right there. So is he. What does that mean? That means if you can get your immune system built up, maybe 15 years from now, you won't find out you have cancer. And that means if you can keep your mind clean tonight, 15 years from now, you won't wreck your life. Let me say it again. A long time before lives are wrecked and ruined, the plans are drawn. The architect of the mind has drawn those plans. Look at me, I'm through. Look at me, and I'm through. What do you see in there tonight?
Huh?
Men, what do you see? Well, you sit with the house. I'm just oversexed. No, you're not. You're overdumbed. My Bible says there's no temptation taking you but such as common to man. Apostle Paul had the same temptations you do. Lee Robertson had the same temptations you do. Dennis Sunday had the same temptations you do. John Rice had the same temptations you do. And Jack Hiles has the same temptations you do. And Tom Malone has the same temptations you do. And Elijah had the same temptations you do. And Moses had the same temptations you do. I'm saying you're not. You have available to you the same thing that Moses had available to him. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now clean up your chamber. I said, get in there and clean that place up. Our Heavenly Father,